Okay, welcome back. Well, welcome to everyone. Thank you for joining me today. The title of today's IG Live is Adjusting to the New Life as an International Student. So I got a lot of questions from people saying, oh, what banks do we register with? Oh, what do we do here? How do we get money? You know, all those questions when you settle in. And I decided to invite three other of my friends to come answer those questions with me. And today I have Ladi, Pearl, and Di, and I'll let them introduce themselves. Okay, Bolu. Okay, Ladi, we'll start with you. Do you want to tell us who you are and all that?
Hope everybody can hear me. At least, do you test?
No, I can hear you.
Okay, then that means everybody can hear me. I want to know that everybody can hear me.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ladi. Ladi Adeoluwa. I'm a first-year PhD student at the University of Alabama. I'm currently studying electrical engineering, and my research interest ranges topics like LiDAR, radar, deep learning, and radar signal processing. So it's nice to be here.
Fancy. When you mean radar, what do you like? What at the end of the day, what's it used for?
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it's not. It's fine. Radar stands for radio detection and ranging. It is a technology that is ubiquitously used mostly in the military for detection of aircraft. But with recent improvements in technology, the amount of use cases have increased. So you see it used in smart homes. Mm-hmm. You see it used in biomedical applications. Also, I don't know if anybody here knows about Google Soli, that is on the Pixar phones, where you use hand gestures to control, like, your phone, interact with a computer screen, human computer interaction. So, yeah, radar is just becoming a new technology. It's everywhere now.
Cool.
I'd be boring.
No, I could never do it, so I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you're trying to change the world in that aspect. I'm happy for you. So, Pearl, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Hi, guys. Hi. My name is Pearl Agwe. I'm a third-year PhD student at UT Austin. That's, University of Texas at Austin. My research is focused on indoor and outdoor air quality. Specifically, right now, I do a bunch of things, but right now I'm working on a project that has to do with chlorine-initiated chemistry in the atmosphere, and how that influences the formation of secondary organic aerosols and all that stuff. But yeah, that's why it's nice to meet you all. It's nice to be here. Nice to see people from my space join me.
Okay, so Di, do you want to introduce yourself? And shortly, when Di is done, as the tradition is in this house, we're going to all say how you guys met me, and I will give my own version of the story. So Di, what do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, hi Tolu. Thank you for putting this together. Currently doing a master's in engineering at Carleton University in Canada. I'm doing a program in technology innovation management, and basically what that is trying to solve problems and create values with technology. As simple as it sounds, not so complicated like that discussed. Basically, I find an opportunity to apply technology to solve problems. A lot of technology emerging, you know, people aren't. A lot of technology are emerging, and a lot of problems are still there. So, how do we actually use this technology and apply it to create values? And by value, I mean, you know, build companies, help companies solve more problems. And that's it, really, in simple terms. I do a lot of other things at school. I currently work for the university business director, where we also help companies as well. So overall, like, my interest is revolving around technology, products, business. I also work for the student consulting group in the university. And I'm currently in a team of five consultants working on a for an impact management academy in the US. So yeah, simple summary of myself.
Okay,
and
so much
you want me to go first?
No, I'll start with Pearl. But thank you, dear, for introducing yourself. Thank you all for coming, three of you for coming. I also like to say why I invited the three of you. In particular, I invited Pearl because she's one of my first friends to have moved here. She moved here in 2018, her, Ladi, and Busai, a couple of other friends. And then she has been helping students secure admission. Well, disclaimer, not secure admission per se, but like going through our SOPs, But like she has been helping a lot. She's a volunteer at Master's Prep. Shout out to Chiagra and Okamino. And Ladi as well. And Ladi is one of the people who, if you've watched my interview with Aladi on YouTube, Ladi was one of the people who helped me prepare for my visa interview. And he's like the strictest person you ever meet. So I always recommend people to go through him. And Dia is someone who also moved to Canada. He has a whole story that even me, I'm yet to hear. But I decided to bring someone in from Canada this time. So yeah, welcome. So Pearl, I'll start with you. How did you meet? And while this is going on, please leave your questions in the Q&A tab so that we can start by like 2:15 to 2:20. So Pearl, yeah. So what's your version of how you met me?
I'm guessing that most of the people on this page have already listened to our podcast, so they really know like deep.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically, Togo and I were course mates at CU, and that was how I met her. In short story, that's how I met Togo.
Yeah.
We worked together a couple of times over the 5 years that we were in school together. I was her general secretary for like two projects. We were roommates a couple of times, but like that being said, that's how we met.
Yeah, and then I came to Texas and I gave you COVID and you know all the
Yeah, and then she came to Texas to see me and started a podcast that's on her page, gave me COVID and I survived.
Yes, we survived. Okay then, Ladi, so how did we meet?
Firstly, I don't know who just put something. I'm not strict. Who said I'm strict?
That's a lie. She's right. Don't lie. If you're strict, accept it with your chest.
Yeah, but like, I've been smiling. I've not met that person and I've been smiling since, so I don't know how she knows. Do you get? How I met you? I think I just know you. You've just been around. We attended university together, so we were in engineering, so I guess. And you were friends, special friends with one of my guys, one of my roommates that year. So I guess that's how we knew each other. Then we became closer when we worked on the board of, or the admins of Master Prep. I think that's our closest
time together.
That's closest work we've done together, yeah. Mm-hmm. So since then, strength to strength, we started another group for people that were in the US, just a lot. So yeah,
okay, thank you. Di, yeah, you're right, like yes, that's yeah, so, okay. Yeah, and Di,
oh yeah, so I met Tolu in CU as well from first year. Tolu was mutual friends, or is the mutual friends one of my close friends as well, so that's how we met. Yeah, still a special friend, and so we've been working together since then. We've also worked with two leadership groups actually, and since
close. Yeah, we can't hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, are you done?
Okay.
Yes. So yeah, Di was that guy who would always like, yeah, he believed in me as a leader. So I'll never forget you, Di. So yeah, so thank you for, and that's how we met and all that. So thank you guys for coming here today. So before like I address some of the questions that we got on Instagram, I also want to ask each and every one of you, I'll start with you, Ladi. Since you got to the when you first moved to the US this year, what would you say was your biggest struggle? And would you say you have overcome it as an international student?
Oh yeah, I think my biggest struggle since coming here was basically just adapting to the education, the educational system here. It's a bit different. Especially if you do technical courses like engineering, like it's a whole different ballgame. How I taught in Nigeria is mostly theoretical, and here you are encouraged to apply what you learn. And it was a huge challenge for me. I remember being very depressed and not, I thought I was smart until I came here. And you just go back, you come back, you a lot of assignments as well, you can't do anything. And there's just a huge gap between the education in Nigeria and here. So that catching up was a huge hurdle for me. Mm-hmm. I guess we just resumed the semester like 3 days ago. And right now, I think I'm better prepared. I better understand the task as ahead. Mm-hmm. So it took a lot of adjusting, but that was like my biggest hurdle, like just coming here.
Okay. Yeah. Pearl, for you, what would you say was your biggest struggle as an international student, when you first arrived?
Honestly, everything that Ladi said, and like still like going into the educational aspect of everything, right? Knowing how to present my problems to my professors, like when you come from Nigeria, the whole culture of asking questions or like being able to be open about the fact that you don't really understand what's going on isn't encouraged. So coming here, I felt like it was the same thing. So in my first semester, I found it really difficult. I wouldn't like talk to my professors if I had issues and everything. But like, yeah, that semester was really rough, and it was also a huge lesson for me. In my next semester, I had a great relationship with all the professors that I took classes with. I'd like just meet them and ask them more very random questions. So like, yeah, that really was the biggest challenge, knowing that you can't just ask your professor whatever question you have, and yeah, being open about not understanding things. So.
Okay.
But yeah, that was my problem. No, thank God.
Yes, Faith, I can relate because I'm always asking questions. Dear, before I come to you, so you guys are so PhD. Like, I thought you guys would talk about how you struggled lifestyle wise, but I guess you guys are really serious with your books. But for me, my biggest hurdle didn't have to do with my academics, it was mostly the lifestyle, but we'll get to that. Dear, for you, what was your biggest like struggle adjustment when you got here?
I think we're on the same page, Salu. It wasn't really about academics because over here, my program is made up of international students. So that kind of program designed for everyone. So regardless of your background. So it was easy adjusting for me. And in terms of academics, I don't think that's a challenge for me. But what I'll say was a challenge is adjusting to the culture, just to the time zone. When I came here, I was still working my Nigerian job, and we were like 6 hours behind. 6 hours behind, yes. And it was difficult, you know, adjusting to that change, adjusting to the culture change, adjusting to the environment. And it was still COVID, so we were locked down. I don't even know if that's a pro or a con for me, because if I imagine what would have happened if we're not restricted to stay inside the house, need to go out and all of that. So, but because we are restricted to stay inside the house, maybe that was an advantage. So for me, that was the challenge. Those adjustments were not really easy as of then, but you know, we overcame them. So it's nothing to do with academics. I think at academic level, I was doing fine, and also relationship with my professors and my, you know, co-classmates.
Interesting. Yeah, so yeah, same for me. Although I want to say, sometimes I think I didn't really struggle with anything because I was always asking questions, and I always had people who always helped me. And I have an episode on my podcast about how, you know, you should speak up in class, be open, and like even your professors just know you and like attend. There's some people also swear by office hours and all that. But I think for me, my biggest culture shock was the tipping, because like coming here really frugal, I was like, why did people want my money, you know? So that was the only thing that I took a lot of adjusting to. But I can't say anything of, and the fact that I didn't have a car, so of course I had to learn how to use the bus more often, you know, pay for that. But that's all, by the way. So next question I have, before we go into the other questions, some people have sent their questions to the Q&A tab.
So, I'm sorry, new tip, or you just say not today?
What? What?
When you go to buy, do you tip them? Do you eventually adjust to tipping?
Me? Oh, do I tip?
Yeah.
This is a public place, so I don't know. how much I can say. But then I try. If I really feel like it went above and beyond. But if my outing, it was a budgeted one. Let's say I only plan to not eat more than this amount. There's nothing I can do to help you because me too, I'm working for my money. Do you get? So, but I mean, there are other times where you feel like, okay, this person doesn't just look like they served me out of because of what they can get from me. Then of course I would tip. And there are some other times where they force, you know, now they do gratuity. So they already put it that you must tip a certain amount. So for those ones, I don't have a choice. Even the other day, I even tried to talk to the manager that why they add gratuity. But the man said, that's how they do it there. So, you know, I can't fight the system. I'm learning now. So, but yeah, that's so sometimes I tip. Next question I'd like to ask you before we take the other question. So when you got here and you found out, a lot of people have this question of how do you make friends here when you come here? And I know three of you are quite introverted, maybe apart from Ladi. So for I'll start with you, Di. How would you say you have made friends? Like for someone who just arrived in the US 2 weeks ago, what would be or in Canada 2 weeks ago, what would be your advice for them to making friends?
Right. I think you're absolutely right. I'm very introverted sometimes, most of the times. And for me, I try to be very deliberate with making friends. Take advantage of any opportunity to make yourself visible. Well, while in class, I found out that a lot of people were relying on me for, you know, to explain a lot of things to them. So I took advantage of that. You know, people were coming to me in that regard. So I tried to make friends from that channel as well. I was very open as well. Me being introverted, it shouldn't affect like my opportunities. Because over here, you really need friends. You really need to stay sane, you know, talk mm-hmm. to people and all mm-hmm. of that. Try no one. So I took advantage of that. So my first advice would be when you get here, try to make relationships, make connections in classes. Classes basically, because that's the easiest place really. I can't say go to go out or go to events, but like classes are very important. Start making friends, make local friends as well if you can. And then my housemates were also very helpful. So if you live in a house or if you have neighbors, try to be friendly and make a great effort to make friends. You can even go as far as telling them, you know what, I actually need friends because I think at the point, there was this particular housemate that, you know, I literally told him, you're my only brother here. That's how we started vibing. And I think the first 2 weeks, when he took me around. And people are very kind here. So that really shouldn't be much of a big deal. You shouldn't find it so hard. No matter how introverted you are, if you make the effort, you know, and you'll find friends.
Okay, so, yeah, I like what you said about... I like what you said about staying outright. Okay, I said I like what you said about, you know, being outright and saying, oh, I need a friend. Like, I'm new here and I'm looking to make friends. I think I like that, like being open about that.
Yeah, I mean, people are very kind and open up to me as well.
Okay.
Hey, can we be friends? This is what I need. And then at points, just to mention too, I became very close with my professor and we're very close friends now. I actually work for him, so we're very close friends. And sometimes university officials are also there to help. I remember when I first came here, when I first came here, people were reaching out from the university as well. So I took advantage of that, you know, they have to do for us, they need help. Advantage of that. That's what I'm paying for school fees, right? So if you can help me, so be it. I'll be happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ladi, for you, what would you say has been? I know you're a roommate with someone from CU as well. Shout out to you, Demola. But how would you say you have the luxury of having a Nigerian as your roommate? But if you didn't have that, how would you say you would make friends or you make friends?
I think it's feedback from someone. I don't know if it's me, but can you guys hear me clearly or just me?
I think it's general. Can you try to mute
Or should
yourself?
We mute ourselves, like, if you're not talking? I can do that. Or, dear, you can mute yourself and maybe pill so I can mute myself. Okay.
Yeah, so that, yeah. Anyways, yeah, I think having a Nigerian roommate, as someone I know, was like a huge advantage for me. But one thing I have to say, I don't know how it is in Canada, but over here, especially in the US and in the South, a lot of people are just individualistic. A lot of people keep to themselves. Nobody cares about, there's nothing like, this is my neighbor, nobody cares about the next person. So if you actually want to make friends here, dare I use the word, that's very, very important. You have to be deliberate about what you're doing. Go for events, go to church. I'm not saying you should go to church to make friends, but like, people go to church to make friends. You go to, after your classes, you try and stick around, because here, after classes, everybody just closes their books, even before the lecture has finished, you close their books, they are jumping out. You try and stop a few people, try and ask them questions. It's very important. Also, I think you should have the mindset that, I don't know if it's a good mindset, but like, you should have a mindset that, oh, I've left my home country, I'm here, I've come to a new country, I have zero friends. Just forget all your friends in Nigeria. You have zero friends on the ground, like where you are now, you have zero friends. And you should look at being in school as an opportunity to network. You should not be living in the past. You should look at school as an opportunity to network. So any chance you get, try meeting people. Anytime I'm at the bus stop, I always make the point of reference, like, if there's somebody beside me, I'm just how far, what's going on? And like, you have something interesting about you already, because you have an accent, there's a lot of things you can talk about. A lot of Nigerians, when they come here, most of them are just looking for other Nigerians, looking for things that are so close to home, so they find it hard to expand and make new relationships. But for me, I guess it wasn't so hard. I've been to like 5 churches. Sometimes I attend two churches in one day. I meet like new people. I'm just trying to grow. I'm trying to grow a network of people here, so I also have friends here and make new relationships here as well. So I guess it was just hard for me. But I guess, like you said, I'm a friendly person.
Thank you, Ladi. Yeah, it's one thing to always approach people. But okay, so I think this question before you, Pearl. Something is still screeching in the background. Di, are you able to mute your mic? Like, to tap on your video and mute your mic? Or is it the fan? No, can't be. Something is still screeching in the background. Okay. So, Pearl, I know for you, you're not exactly assertive, all the time. So would you say for in the case of Ladi and Di, where they were able to like reach out and say, oh, I need a friend, or I want to be friends, for you, how were you able to do that? I don't think you come off as someone who would do that. So for people who can't do that, what would you suggest would be a good way for them to make friends?
First of all, I'm very happy. Why are you
attacking? I'm just being on. I'm sorry.
I was actually reinforced one of the things that I said about just being open, right? I remember my first semester here, one of the friends that I have to do, I actually told her that I'm a different. Like, I told her that
I... No, Pearl, sorry, I'm sorry to cut you off. I can't hear you clearly. Or is it my Wi-Fi? Can you guys hear Pearl clearly? It's scratching.
Can you guys hear me?
No.
Is everyone muted?
Something is happening somewhere.
Is everyone muted? Because I was muted. I was still
here. Yeah, are you muted?
No, I'm not muted. Okay. Trying to figure out who.
Yeah, if you tap on your video, you should see it come up. Just lightly tap on your friend.
I just carry on. I'll figure that out.
Okay. No, we'll wait for it because I can't even hear her. I think that's how it is. If you tap on... No? Pearl,
yeah, it's just showing on my
end. It's showing on my end. So, like, tap your frame. Just tap it lightly. And then, can you see the mute button?
Nope. There's no mute button.
Okay, can you see your mic button? Can you see your microphone button? So you can turn it off.
There's no mic button.
Ladi, can you do it on your end?
Okay, so let me exit and then you carry on to your so that we don't keep you waiting and I'll join you back.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Ladi, are you muted, Ladi? Okay, sorry for that, guys. Sorry, thank you. Okay, hi, Titi.
Thank you.
Okay, so Pearl, yeah, I was saying, for someone who cannot reach out to people, for someone who cannot say, oh, can I be your friend, how would you, like, what advice would you have for those kind of people who want to make friends?
First of all, I don't know if I'm exactly that person, but, like, what I can say about that is, there was something D.I. said that I actually did, which was, telling someone that I was talking to, someone that's my friend up until today, in our first semester here, that like I was lonely and I needed friends, and just telling her that made her like invite me to stuff, and whenever anything was happening, would invite me out. But I also wanted to like add that for a lot of people coming here in your first semester, there's a lot going on. Going out of your way, like outside of just classes, to make friends might be a little difficult. So I think that you should take advantage of the people in your classroom, right? It's a nice place to start. It's a good place to start. That was where I started. And it's just, you probably will be doing homework with people. And it's not just about academics, right? You finish doing homework and you need to chill. You guys can go out and like, get dinner or get lunch together, and all those things consistently happening help you build a relationship with these people. And then after that semester, when you begin to have more time to do the things that you would like to do, yes, attend events like Ladi was saying, go for things, go to church, great place to find friends. Church was also a place where I found a bunch of people that I interact with today. Honestly, even Instagram, I have a friend today that met me on Instagram. She's a Nigerian from the North. She just messaged me on Instagram and she was like, hi, I saw that you're from Nigeria. Like, let's go for brunch. I went for brunch last year and we're friends.
It's always brunch.
It's always brunch. It's really always brunch. But like, yeah, that being said, you kind of just have to come out of your shell if you're the kind of person that isn't used to finding friends. And there's one thing about connecting with people the first time and then continuing to maintain that friendship. So I had a conversation with someone recently about maintaining friendships. If you meet someone that you think you want that person to be your friend, don't always wait for them to want to reach out to you. Send them a message, tell them, hey, let's go out, let's watch a movie, do you want to come over, organize game nights, there are a bunch of things. Just keep people in your circle, like maintain the connections. Mm-hmm. Don't just meet the people when you meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
Be intentional about cultivating the relationship. So
okay, yeah. Thanks, Pearl. So I'm going to build on what you said about game night. So for this particular question, I could stay all day telling you about how to have friends because I'm as friendly as it gets. But I would also say I remember when I did the episode till today, it's not one of the most downloaded episodes, but most people give me feedback on that episode. And I also really say that you should, because I really sat down and I thought, how have I been actively making friends and intentionally making friends? Because it can be a buzzword sometimes to just keep saying, be intentional, be deliberate, because there's sometimes you're intentional and you don't still get your energy back. Let me be honest. So there's sometimes you'll now know, okay, this isn't working out. Who else can I be friends with? And then I realized that I shouldn't be expecting so much immediately because these people already have friends where they are coming from. So it's going to take another time. It could take even another 2 years to become friends. So, but I would say that one very good way to make friends is also to be out there. And I think when people see you're open, I noticed that I could talk, if I meet a stranger today, like we could share so much in 30 minutes just because I'm like we're both being open, you know, talking about their family, their dreams, their hopes, you know, why are they here in America, you know, those kind of things open up pathways for someone to feel like, oh, I'm really your friend. So I think it's very key for you as a person to be open, even though you tell them I want to be your friend, but you yourself have to be open so they can know you for who you are as well. Okay, so I'm going to direct this question at you, Ladi. So now I'm picking questions for I'm sorry to address Ladi's question, the comment about how do you make friends during online classes. So for every online class I had last semester, I would check the Zoom list and anybody's name I like, or anybody who in class was always talking out, you know, and let's say we need to form groups, I would reach out to them on Zoom. Hi, can I get your number? Can I get your email address? I'm looking to join whatever group you're going to be on for this class. And then you find out that from there, you guys eventually start meeting on those Zoom calls, and then someone will say, oh, let's all go for lunch. So that was another way I made friends. And if I saw your name was Nigerian by any mistake, I was definitely going to reach out to you in the message section. So you just have to be the one sometimes who hands out the stick. Okay, so next question. What does it mean? Is Minnesota a bad place to study in the USA? And does it mean if the school is not popular, it will affect my chances of getting a visa? I'm adding this for you. You're muted. And I think I need to invite DI back.
I don't think there's no bad place to study in the US. I think it's dependent on who you are as an individual. I wouldn't love to study in Minnesota because it would be horrible for me personally. I can't already be dealing with the issues I'm dealing with, and be dealing with -2, -1. It's some very crazy weather. They have very crazy weather there. Even right now it might be very cold, but you have to just, there's no bad place to study. And as regards the question of the university, mostly for visa interviews, the prestige of the university doesn't really count unless it's the top university. I don't know, like if you are going to Harvard, or you are going to Stanford, or you are going to the big schools, there's little you need to see. They know the schools, but for an average school or a bottom barrel school, sorry, it's called bottom barrel, small schools, it doesn't really matter. All you have to do is explain why you are going to this school, because you selected the school, you know why you are attending that school. I'm attending University of Alabama because I like the atmosphere, I like the weather, I like the food. You have to have a reason why you're applying to this particular state in this particular state. It's when you don't have a reason that becomes a problem. So I do a lot of visa interviews, visa mock interviews for a lot of people that come to the US, and you ask them questions, why did you select this school? And they will tell me, is the best university for their program. That's a lie now, because I know the best university for your program, and it's definitely not the school. And if I can tell that from just being a student, like these people that are at the embassy, they know. So you have to have a specific reason why that school resonates with you. There's a reason why you said that, oh, I like the research of Dr. this in this particular university. Or if you are going to maybe a place like Texas is the diversity in Texas is a lot. There are a lot of Nigerians. I'll feel more at home at Texas. If you are going to New York, because I like the madness of Lagos. Lagos is a mad place, and the closest city to Lagos in the US. So you have to be ready. It doesn't matter about the university. It doesn't matter about your own personal reasons for attending that particular institution. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because that question was actually unrelated, but the guy that I just felt like we should take his question because he said he was going to come. Okay, thank you. Pearl, this one, I'll direct this one at you. Is it better to live on campus or off campus for people who are planning to move or looking for a place to stay?
Is this question from like a graduate student perspective?
I think it's from someone who finished with us, so yeah.
Okay, so there are a lot of angles to this question. First of all, a lot of schools have the option to live on campus as a graduate student. It's like you probably would only find that with private universities. However, as a graduate student, if you live on campus, it might be a good choice to meet people. But most likely, the accommodation on campus could be more expensive. So if you're looking for more affordable options, it would be a better option to go off campus, because there's a wider variety, you can choose where to. If you want to live close to campus, you can live close to campus at a more affordable price. If you have a car and you can live farther from campus, it might be cheaper for you because the farther you get from campus, the more affordable housing gets. So there are actually a bunch of pros and cons. I live off campus and I'm not planning on moving to graduate housing. There's also some schools also provide graduate housing, which is not on campus. So I mean, if you're living off campus, might as well pick where you want to live, right? But that being said, there are a bunch of reasons. Just look at all of the reasons and choose what works for you as a person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like living off campus. That's what I'm going to say.
I think it doesn't make sense financially, that's what I have to say, to live on campus as a graduate student.
What if you don't have a car? Maybe not.
If you don't have a car,
living in a city that provides accommodation for students, like in Texas, at least in Austin, with your student ID, you can ride the bus free anywhere. So.
I feel like if you're in a college town already, they already know that students are going to be living around the university. So the pricing of the house in there would make sense. But on campus, the rates for people living on campus is extremely high. Yeah. And in some universities, you get some very funny rules. About when you're living on campus, there's some things you cannot do, there's some things you cannot bring, there's some things you cannot do in the apartment. That can't be paying that amount of money and being CEO hostel again. So basically,
Must you drag somebody?
I believe that you should, if you are a grad student, there's no reason why you should be on campus. In fact, if you start living your life, you are an adult. Start living from there. Please.
I lived my life while I was on campus, Ladi.
Okay.
So, well, it's both ways. Dear, do you want to say something?
Well, I think it depends because I don't know someone in particular, but I think it depends because I've met some, you know, people that live on campus because maybe their labs are closer to the school, so it's easy for them, easy access for them. Other than that, I haven't lived on campus, so I can't speak so much to that. But here in Canada, the transport system is good, so that's not even an excuse. But as an international student, I'm assuming one of the things that is most important to you is finding affordable housing as well. So please don't consider living on campus. You know, best options will always be off campus, unless you have every reason to do that. In this part of Canada where I am, it's easy to find houses off campus.
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. To be fair, maybe because of where I stay and because of is in New York, the prices were not that competitive. So even staying on campus was not there. I mean, there are houses that are more expensive than staying on campus. And I would say on campus because the housing was just owned by Cornell, not like it was exactly on campus or close to campus. So for Anita who asked this question, I would say if money, I think you just need to find out what are your priorities. Is it distance? Is it close to people? Is it being close to your friends? Like for me, I moved in to another apartment this semester because I wanted a roommate. I no longer wanted to stay alone. So it depends on like the things that are priority to you. Do you want to stay somewhere where the laundry is detached from the house? You know, so it just has to be your priority, which place is close to your department, which place is close to the grocery store. So when you're able to scale your priorities, it should help you in your decision. So the last question for today, which all of you would key into, how have you been able to manage your budget? Like, how do you budget as an international student? Because like two of you here are PhDs, so you guys earn PhD money. I think you work on site. I have student jobs, but how would you see, and I've addressed this question in one of my episodes, Q&A episodes in season one, how much I spend a month, how I manage my money and all that. But I will start with you, Phil. How would you say you have handled, I know you also pay your own rent, so how do you budget your money? How do you handle your finances as an international student, basically?
I wish you did start with me, I'll answer.
But I have an issue. Can you guys like speak up a bit because of?
Yeah, sure. So how do I manage my finances here? First of all, first thing that you should know is wherever you're going to live, wherever you are living, your rent should be 1/3 of whatever you earn in a month. That's like the rule of thumb.
No, be able.
Or less.
Mm-hmm. So, but no, but wait. So, if I earn $1,000, how will I find a place for $330?
I feel like if you earn $1,000, you probably will. Hopefully, I'm hoping that you have support from other people, unless you're mm-hmm. in a city where you can live off $1,000 comfortably. Like, I think $1,000 is
you can't
live.
But wait. Okay, that's if you're paying your rent by yourself.
If you're mm-hmm. paying your rent. If mm-hmm. somebody's paying your rent, you can live off $1,000 comfortably.
Comfort, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But if you're like taking care of everything by yourself, the rule of thumb is to pay 1/3 or less of what you're earning. Mm-hmm. And then after doing that, you want to try to eat at home as much as possible. Eating out, one of the things that kept spiking there was that eating out in US is like the cheapest, the food is like cheapest in the United States. It's not a lie, it's very true, but like those bills pile up really quickly, so mm-hmm. you don't want to eat out all the time. Mm-hmm. You want to cook as much as you can, pack your lunch to school if possible.
Yes, I'm sorry to cut you short. There's something you said that even means it's a hack I use, like pack bananas and granuts because it keeps you full.
It keeps you full, like banana and granuts, like premium meals here, and like on a serious note. But yeah, like you want to pack your lunch as much as you can. Then water is also something you don't want to be buying, so get a water bottle.
Okay.
There's water around the school. You can always get a water bottle. But yeah, like that being said, those are like the primary things that really eat into your finances every month. And then utilities, internet, all those things, they eat into your finances. But like once you can cover those things, right, you most likely will have enough to even save mm-hmm. after that. And like after doing that, you things that you should also know, get a credit card. You need a credit card. So there's this misconception, but yes, get a credit card.
Yeah, I plan to get one this semester too.
Yeah, you should definitely get a credit card. Yeah, honestly, a group of things, but long story short, these are things that I've learned. I'm not best at finance, but these are like little things. Also, there are a bunch of saving and investment apps that are low risk, so look into that as well to help and grow your finances.
Off the top of your head, what apps?
Two apps I use right now, Stash is very low risk and it's great for just saving, and Robinhood is great for investing.
Okay.
Thank you. I also invest on Stash, but yeah. That being said, those are things you should take into consideration.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Ladi, this is for you. Ladi, how do you manage your finances as well, even on PhD money? So
because
you guys are making money, but it's all right. If you say so.
Mm-hmm. So I think for finances, what you have to first realize is you have to know where your source of income is coming from. Do you have a rich father at home that's giving you money, or you are doing a job, or you just know where you know how much that is coming to you at the end of the month. That is where you first start from. I don't know. I think you can work in Canada, but in the US, you can't work legally outside of camp. Keyword on legally. You can't work legally in the US outside of campus, and you can't work more than 20 hours. So, regardless of even any job you get, your salary is limited. So, like you said, PhD money. If you're on an assistantship or a graduate research assistantship or graduate teacher assistantship, you'll be, as an PhD student, you'll be earning between about $1,500 to about $3,000.
Now, I know people in Cornell that earn as much as $5,000.
$5,000, yes, possible. Mm-hmm. Yes, those are Ivy League schools, yes. Mm-hmm. Depending on the city you are in, out of the money you know that is coming at the end of the month, first, you don't minus your rent, don't remove your rent. Your rent is not even something you should even own, because these people, they don't send anybody, they'll kick you out like one time, they don't even. I remember the first month we had to pay rent, And Demola, my roommate, was, he thought that they were going to remind him about the rent, and he didn't pay it one day, $50. 2 days, additional $50 will also come in the money every day. And I think after 5 days, he'll call somebody and kick you out, basically. So you have to just remove your rent. Know how much your rent is, remove it. Then that's where the management now comes in. Knowing yourself, me personally, I like the boy lifestyle. I don't like to suffer. So
PhD just know.
I beg you. But just know, live within your means. Live within your means. Personally, I'm a cook. I always post pictures of videos of me cooking. If you can cook, please cook. It saves you a lot of money. If you are eating out, and let's say you eat out maybe four times a week, that's like $40 to $60.
If not more,
and that's times four is a crazy amount of money. That's 6 times 4. I hope my math is correct. That's $240 a month. Who are you to be spending $240?
What's your problem? If I want to spend $100 a month, it's not my money. Which one is who am I?
Well, that's what I said. If you know who you are. Yeah, Tolu, I'm not big like it. You get.
I don't have eat out, but don't drag those like that.
But like, on the serious, once you pay your rent, typically, rent should be between $400 to $800. If you are
in the US,
yeah,
US. Now give me an average. You can be far more than that, and you can be below that. But you see most people between $400 and $800. Now, after you, let's say you meet at your rent is $600. Reasonably, I think it's women that spend more on groceries. I don't think guys spend more on groceries, because me and Demola is rice and spaghetti like every night. Rice and spaghetti every night.
Wait, so how much do you spend on groceries?
Yeah,
give or take.
You should spend more than $250 on
that's
groceries.
Too much. Well, guys eat more than girls.
You should spend, right? You should spend more.
Right?
Yeah, this is for me and Demola.
Oh, okay.
So this is for me and Demola. You should spend more than $250 on groceries every month.
Where do you shop? Every week or every month?
$250.
Wait, so but where do you shop?
Different places.
Aldi, Walmart.
Walmart, Aldi, Target. Yeah. It just depends.
I know Walmart and Aldi's are cheap.
Is that how the HEB taxes?
What?
It depends on the one that is closest to you. Now you should also not forget that some of your some miscellaneous expenses like your electricity bill, water bill.
That's not miscellaneous, so budget for that.
So that's not miscellaneous. Okay, electricity bill very important, because electricity bill, water bill, some apartments you pay for your internet is included. Some apartments they pay for trash. So just know where you are living, and just find a way to put it into your the amount of money you're earning. For me personally, after I moved my rent and my monthly groceries, I think I still have about maybe $700 left. So you can use it to invest in something. Don't just leave your money waiting inside the savings account. It's just a waste. It's a waste of money.
Okay,
because
that's when
you start, the devil start entering your mind. I bought the steering wheel. So I'm a huge racing fan, and I saw this steering wheel online, and I was like, steering wheel looks cool. Let me just run it. And it was like $250. And because I had money in my account, so you understand, I just click order. I've returned it now, Sha. But you should find a way to invest your money instead of just wasting it. Find a way to invest it. Mm-hmm. Like Phil said, there are like good apps.
Stash and Robin Hood.
Yeah.
So we have we have about 6 minutes left.
You should be in the US. You should get a credit card as well. Credit card might be a very good way of, if you are responsible, you should have a credit card. And it really helps you in the long run. It can also help you offset some bills and help you create like a payment plan for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, I think But I don't know if I'm that responsible, but maybe we'll see how it goes. For people in Canada, how do you... Yeah, so I'm answering Isioma's question as well. So what are your expenses like in Canada? Because for me here, my rent comes with electricity and Wi-Fi and water. So I don't have to deal with that. But how is it in Canada? We have 5 minutes left.
Yeah, just to make sure I'm answering your question. Can you repeat the question again?
What are your first question I asked was how do you? But that was from someone in the US. What's your budget like per month in the US? But in Canada, so what's your budget like, and what are your expenses? And do you? I know you don't have like. Do you work? Right. How do you make your money, and how do you budget it?
Right. Okay, so I'm going to try to be very brief. I think there's a lot of differences between what's happening in Canada and what's happening in the US. Not so much, but you know, some very distinct differences. One is credit card. It's something that I don't know why you haven't gotten your own totally, but credit card is something you shouldn't
get. It's like one of the first things.
Because that means I know that there's money at my disposal every time. That's not good. That's not healthy.
No. You need to
get a credit card. Like, in the US, it's something you should have. Like, you can't even live without
credit. I know. People are still surprised I still have a debit card. I know. I'm getting to it. Okay. So, sorry to cut you. Yeah.
So it's good that you have a debit card and you always have funds, right? But sometimes you need to also build up your credit. So it's good to have that practice of, you know, spending from your credits, even if the money is already available in your debit. So when your statement comes, you can pay back immediately, which is fine. But if you really want to save your budget, what Ladi and Pearl has said, I think they're both true. Once you have your rent, if you want to, you can actually live on a lean budget, depending on your point, you know, on how your pocket is. Once you have your rent sorted out, the rest, you can split the rest, to be honest. And then, so my advice would be, you know, make sure your rent is sorted out. One third of your earnings might not be realizable right now as a student. Maybe that rule of thumb is, general rule of thumb, but it's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible, but in some areas it might be difficult. But just make sure that your rent is covered up every month, whether you're getting money from home or you're working. So, which leads me to my second point. I think it's important that, you know, once you come, you find a job. You need to find a job, regardless of what type of job it's in. There are jobs that pay minimum wage. As a student, when you come, you know, you feel like, you know, why should I go for this kind of reasons? I mean, you just have to go for those kind of jobs because that might be what is available. If you're lucky enough to find a job in university jobs pay more, and that will be, you'll be very lucky to find a job in university school. There are a lot of them, not like it's difficult to find. I have a job in university I'm currently working on. Opportunities come up and you see jobs in university. So find a job, get the credit card, make sure you're ready to sort that out. You find this tree, right? The remaining is just, I don't know, you could survive, basically. You could survive until you graduate. Yeah. And once you graduate, you get access to full-time jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You get access to full-time jobs. And in terms of jobs, right, as an international student, you can't work more than 20 hours off campus. So it's the same thing with the US. Here in Canada, it's also the same thing. And so, you know, if you get a job in the university, you can work full time. If you get a job off the university, you have to work just 20 hours. So if you're lucky to get the boots, it means you can get a job in the university, work full time in the university. And then if you're lucky, if it's a remote job like me, it means you can also have the opportunity to get another job out of the university and still work your 20 hours. So there are multiple sources of income. And particular question I'm trying to address is not coming to my mind, but yeah, you know, try to get a job, try to make sure your rent is sorted out. I have a friend whose specialty is, you know, finding the cheapest houses, and yeah, don't even blame him at all, because have your rent sorted out, the rest is, like I said, you can survive. And then when you're finding houses, it's very important that you find houses that and this will vary, you know, depending on what your interest is and what your priorities are. For me, I made sure I found a house that I didn't have to make any other expense. My house comes with Wi-Fi, water bills, hydro, that's electricity, water bills, Wi-Fi unlimited, basically everything I need. So once I pay my rent, I can survive. And then, yeah, I remember my point. In terms of meal, in terms of eating, I make my food myself. No shame in that.
Did you learn to cook before you got here?
I was always an advocate of people learning how to cook for themselves, right? I mean, it's a part of survival. Everybody should know how to cook. So maybe I didn't know how to cook very well, but I always like the idea of cooking for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So I make my food myself, and that like saves me a lot of money. So what I do is I go to African stores, like, you know, go grocery once in a month. In fact, there was a particular month I went grocery, like I didn't go grocery for like almost 6 weeks because I had food already stocked in the fridge. And so that will help you survive, you know, have food, get your own stuff so that you don't have to spend money outside of the house. And in terms of transportation, again, what might make you spend money is transportation. So that really doesn't apply here. If you're not going to be using Uber and Lyft and all the rest to move around, maybe in your first 1 week when you get here, because you haven't really understood the transport system. But once you understand the transport system, and you know, you transport system is not expensive. Once you understand the transport system, you know, you don't need to worry about that. Take buses, right? Take buses. Campus card will get you like free bus transportation. So overall, if you want to live on a lean budget, it's possible once you take care of your rent and you get a job. Yeah. And yeah, so my own story is a bit different because, you know, I'm also like, aside from taking care of my expenses, I'm also trying to like foot in my tuition fee as well. So I don't have PhD money like Ladi and Bill. So if you're also in that category, you know, you might need to try to get extra work. So I was lucky I have an investor job. It's remote. I also have the opportunity to do other stuff as well. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But so
even if you don't have that,
you can go ahead.
Just so that it's possible to live on a lean. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm done. I'm done. Don't worry. Carry on.
So it's already 302.
Okay. That Uber thing that yeah mentioned is very important because here abroad they minus the money before you ride. You know, in Nigeria, you can owe them, like, you first go on the ride, then before the next one, you can owe them, and just, yeah, they collect the money one time, and, like,
you know, once you book the ride, before they even send your driver,
and it's like, $12, $11, anywhere you're going, like, so very stupid money. I've told you, there are a few questions, I don't know, that were on the chat, that were...
I'm coming. So, because, I mean, I don't know for sure when this is going to... go off, but because we're already at an hour, but I wanted to build on what DI said and what all of you said. I believe in even living below your means, actually, because so that you can always have a buffer. So first of all, for me, I don't have PhD money. I tried to get, and I stopped getting money, although my parents are paying my rent, but I decided, okay, since they were doing that, I will figure out how to make my own living, how to foot my own living expense bills. So I decided to get jobs, and most people don't know how to get student jobs. So I follow all the Instagram accounts of my school, like of the student life, dining, you know, every Instagram account. So anytime they post a job that they're hiring, like now I applied to Cornell Cinema recently, and what's the job? They only need to go and be putting posters in different buildings, and the pay is like $12 per hour. Of course I'm going to apply, and even though that still comes up to like $100 per week, that's why I can get a second job that is as easy as that. And it will always, I always tell myself, like, it will always fit into my schedule. It's not that hard. So if you're always bothered about, oh, how much will I have to work, you can even work 3 chill student jobs. I'm serious. What is then 7 coffee for 2 hours? And some of them you earn $30 in 2 hours. If you work there every day, 30 times 5, $150 a week. So I don't know how it is for your school, but that's another way to make money in school. And then for budgeting, for someone who did not have, so there were some months I made $200 every week, and I wasn't buying clothes, I wasn't buying, my biggest expenses were on groceries. So like Gladys said, instead of taking transport to and fro, like shop once or use Instacart. And I started using Instacart based, and I now know how to hack
the system. Instacart?
No, I now know how to hack the system. Sometimes I get free delivery if you order above a certain amount. So if you do a monthly shopping, you get free delivery. And I did not stress. They still brought it to my house. I didn't pay transport. So, I mean, eventually you learn to hack the system. So, okay.
Sorry, just one thing that I want to say. Something everybody should know. If you're going to be ordering things, bear in mind that there's luxury tax. So taxes are typically higher when you order things to be delivered.
Even the prices are higher sometimes.
Yeah, prices are higher. It's some type of luxury tax because they are taking away the inconvenience of you going there and bringing it to you. So
Yeah, but but I still feel like the opportunity cost of some of these things can be looked over. Like, and I'm someone who, see, you know how, okay, I don't like to show this my Jebu side, but let me just say it for those of you that might be like me. So you know how you want to buy juice and like 4 fluid ounces and 6 fluid ounces. 6 fluid ounces will be cheaper. Sometimes I will calculate it. Okay, 6 minus 4 is 2. 2 divided by the price. If it's not cheaper, I will sit down. For me to do an online shopping is a whole ball game because I told myself this country will not steal my money. So if you have the strength to do that, then you can also do it, and you actually find hacks, honestly. And if you keep leave me alone. Please leave me. Laddie, please, that's not why we're here. And then, Laddie, please allow me to pass across my point, please. This can save some people. And if I order online, you know how they'll say send your referral code to people and you get money. You can also send it. Instacart will give me $10 free. So, and I'm always talking to people about all these things. So, and if I always ask a friend, I plan to go shopping. When are you going? Free transport. So, you just have to know how to hack the system so you don't spend more than you're supposed to spend. I went in case. Yes. So, someone asked this question. I want to direct it to you at DI. How do you make friends with your professors? So, just think, if the IG Live goes off and you guys have no questions, I will start it again and you can join. So, dear, how do you make friends with your professor?
I think, they are very non-nice, some non-nice people here. Well, I think overall, like, everybody here is nice. I don't know about the U.S., like, I can say in the U.S., but here, there are a lot of nice people. So, you take advantage of that. You talk in class, contribute in class, be visible, basically. I try to be visible. I'm a very introverted person sometimes. I could be, but try to be visible, you know. Try to make contributions. So I'll give you specific steps like what I did, and not to be general. For me, after every class or after some, you know, special classes where I could see this professor, your delivery was exceptional, and maybe there's an assignment to submit or something. My assignment, I reply with extra messages like, thank you for today. This particular thing stood out for me. You know, this was a takeaway for me or something like that. And, those kind of engagements will help, build that kind of relationship. They look out for you in class. You also look out for them in class. Mm-hmm. And also make connections outside of the class. So, like, for me, if there are opportunities to engage with them on anything they're working on, I always try to do that. There was this program one of my professors was organizing, and he needed help. He called for volunteers. I joined in. I made sure I was, not just any volunteer. I was very key to... a key volunteer. He did that, like, with that 2 different programs. I kid you, that was actually how I even got my job, how he recruited me. They didn't do any interview. He just reached out to me directly and said, hey, Daniel, come work for me. So, like, those kind of things, you might think it doesn't matter, you might think you're being too extra. No, there's no such thing as being too extra. As long as what you're doing is good and is right, there's no such thing as being too extra, as long as it's not costing you anything. So just do it, basically. And that's how I build my relationship. I made connections outside the course, LinkedIn, anywhere I have opportunity to make myself relevant, I do that. And so I became very close to not just my professors, to like all my classmates as well. Yeah. So that works. I think on a separate note, maybe you should even do a different session where you talk about, jobs. I know you mentioned about how to get strange jobs and all. Yeah. I currently got this connection from one of, basically what I did was, the recruitment process was there. I saw the name of the company, I went to LinkedIn, I had coded, I messaged them directly, the founders and, you know, the co-founders, and apparently we had mutual connections and we talked about it, and that was how I got connected to them. So sometimes this networking, I know networking might sound like a buzzword, but, you know, if you really know your way around, help. So yeah, that's
I will sing it again. My episode of how to make friends with people and putting yourself out there, episode 10 or 11 from season 1, I also talked about this networking. I was really explicit. So if anyone still has more questions on friends making, being friendly with people, with your professors, with teachers, with students, anybody at all, I think I would highly recommend that episode. I missed the question about meal prep, so I'll answer it before I ask another question to you guys. I think someone, Marv, I had to ask about meal prep. So for me, because I couldn't be eating out all the time, and because naturally I preferred Nigerian food, I wasn't even that adventurous with food. So I would always cook in bulk, you know, and then so that every time you're at home, you can always just eat, make like soup, stew, porridge in bulk. And yeah, it really does work, like cooking or just having things cut up in your fridge so that one day you can just put together a pasta dish or rice dish. It works. But because I'm not really sure of the time, I'll quickly go on to the next question. So for you, Pearl, what's your favorite thing and worst thing about America? So what's your favorite and worst thing about the US?
It's funny, I don't think I'm that one about this, but what's my favorite thing? Okay, I think my favorite thing about US is the the word I was about to say was opportunities, right? Because I feel like there are a lot of opportunities to do a bunch of things. But I mean, I've not thought about this. I think everybody should ask that question. Or maybe if anybody,
I'll come back to you, Pearl. Ladi, what's your favorite and least favorite thing about the US? Like, let me give you an example. Like, when I interviewed Busan and Ladi the last time, Omlade talked about how she didn't like how litigative the society is. Like, everything had to be built for. Everything was, if you were criminal, like, and then Busai also talked about how her least favorite thing was to be in America, you have to have money to enjoy America. So those are just, like, examples. And her favorite thing was that the system is organized. So, Ladi, I'll go, what's your favorite and least favorite thing about the U.S.?
Favorite thing, like Pearl said, there's a lot of avenues to do what you want. You have, it's just too much to do. Like, it's not polarizing. It's just so much to do. There are so many opportunities. There are lesser restrictions than we have back home. I don't know how to, I can't give specific examples now. Just know that, like, it's just more to do, to be honest. You get the best, I don't say best value out of life, but you can get the best value out of life. The thing I don't like about the U.S., or possibly where I am currently, because I can't speak for the entire U.S., but the state I'm in, it is, Americans generally are very individualistic. They keep themselves, they say they are friendly, but come on. Everybody just cares about themselves first. Like, that's how I think this is.
Yeah.
So you know, in Nigeria, somebody, this person is beside your neighbor. You know, everybody knows each other, but there's a community. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, you have to make your own community. And I was talking to my friend yesterday who just moved in. She was always talking about how her and her friend went shopping. And then this guy on the elevator saw them go up and down, up and down. I never even offered to help them with a bag. Even me too, there was a day I fell down during winter. I fell butt down. And whoever was jogging past me could see that this girl just took a fall. He jogged past. I know, like, I feel like I shouldn't be entitled to his empathy, but I couldn't believe it that he did not stop. Hi, I said, God, these people here, they can be very, very vile. And that's what they say here. They're almost like angels and demons at the same time, but I won't talk too much. So, yeah, what's your... Sorry?
When are you guys moving to Canada? Because I can't relate to all of this, though.
Interesting. Interesting. So what's your favorite and least favorite thing about Canada?
Yeah, I think I think my favorite thing about Canada is one of the first things I noticed when I came is that everybody's the diversity here is much like usually diversity. You actually it's different. The different way you hear it and when you see it, right? Mm-hmm. Here is diversity. Here is much like everybody here from Congo, from Eritrea, from different places, and there is more. You won't really notice because there is a shared, shared ownership or something. Shared sense of ownership. There's no discrimination. That's something I really love about this place. In terms of what's the negative side of your question that you asked, I can't think of any. Even before you asked me and since you asked the question, I've been thinking, is there anything? And maybe because of, for me, I'm the kind of person that has this negative side. I always find ways to, you know, to manage. So mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything that is outstanding. This is not so good. This is not a good thing physically, or this is not so. I think overall, Canada is just a good place to be. Whenever I see people online, you know, saying things like the place is boring, don't come. Yes, I know you could get lonely and all of that. It's not. It's not the worst place to be in terms of that. So overall, I'll say everybody here is there's a lot of diversity, which makes it more beautiful to come to Canada.
I know my favorite thing about you
is yeah. Okay, so yeah. Bobby, so you guys should also get ready for the one advice you want to give to someone who just moved to the US today. But Pell, so what's your favorite and least favorite thing?
This might sound very odd, but yeah, my favorite thing about US is how they take every single season and celebration very personal in this country. Like, is it Valentine's Day? Everywhere is going to be red with love balloons. Is it Christmas? Everybody's going to have Christmas decorations in front of their house. Is it Halloween? Or even just fall. So the entire fall season, everybody has pumpkins and everything. I really like the celebration culture here. They really enjoy themselves any time they get the chance to enjoy themselves. So mm-hmm. I really like that, actually. Least favorite thing? I just don't know. I don't have time to really think about things I don't like DI.
There can be a lot, actually. But I like the way they pursue things with excellence here. I think that's one for me. And I just like how everything is available. Like, anything I want, you can get it. You know, and for easily. So that's another thing. And another thing I really like, I'm whispering, I really like how, like, Amazon refunds me for my inconvenience, even though, like, because my account, maybe my item was delivered late, or how I can do returns, you know, and exchanges. I love it so much.
Also, if you take more than the item cost, they refund you your balance.
Yeah, I really love it. Okay, so Ladi, I'll start with you. So what's one thing you want to say to someone who just arrived today? Like, looking back at your own journey, I know you've been here for about 6-7 months now. Like, what's one thing you would say to someone who's just going to land in the US today? Please be serious. I know you're about to drag somebody now and say something.
Then that means my advice has gone now. To be fair, just read your book. The reason why you're here is for it depends on why you depend on the reason that brought you here. But just be focused. The work ethic that you had in Nigeria that brought you here, keep that work ethic, because this place is fast paced. You need to, it's very fast paced, and you can lose yourself because everybody's chasing money, everybody's chasing dollars here. Mm-hmm. You can lose yourself very easily. Mm-hmm. So like we've said it throughout the scope. Find a way to have relationships, find support systems around, whether they're in the US, whether back in Nigeria, very important. Also try as much as possible to network like with people here. Don't have the majority of your life, because the majority of your life is Nigeria, because it causes headache. I'm sorry to say, if you are trying to keep up with people that are in Nigeria that are 6 hours ahead, when they are waking up, like, some people call me by 3 a.m. I'm like, why? When is 3 a.m. here? But like, if you feel like all this, if you are this friendly person, you are guilty, they are calling me at 3 a.m. You just suffer, to be honest. So find a way to manage your time and balance those relationships is very important.
Okay, dear. Thank you, Ladi. So dear, what's one thing you say to someone who just landed in Canada today? Graduate or undergraduate?
Okay, so I'll say if you get here already, no, by the time you get here, you're already settled, they say, in a way. But the one thing I would say to you is, you know, just be focused on whatever it is as your goal. Different people have different goals. I know my own goal, right? Just be focused on whatever it is as your goal, regardless. And be open-minded, but still stay focused. You need to be open-minded because, yes, like, the world is big, bigger than things you've known. And you get to see a lot of things. Things will shock you. And, you know, but just be open-minded, ready to accept, but still be focused on your own goals. That's basically my advice. And then if you're not yet in Canada, you're thinking of coming to Canada, my only advice, because I'm sure you've heard enough advice and you had your own list of things to do, but my only advice is please try to get a driver's license. Like, it's going to make your life easier if you don't have. I can explain that later on, but just try to get a driver's license. You can forget about everything. You know, you come here, you buy them, you buy clothes, you buy food. It's African store. Like, just get a driver's license. Life would be a lot easier. You thank me later.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. Thanks, dear. So, Pearl, for you, what's one thing you would say to a young lady, you know, a young girl like us who just arrived in the U.S.?
Before you come.
Wow, laddie.
So, what I have to say is, first and foremost, or really, I feel like the most important thing is, don't let your Nigerian culture, in terms of not like culture as far who you are, but like don't let the Nigerian culture hold you back from who you can be when you're here. Well, they say when you're in Rome, behave like the Romans. That's not what I'm trying to say, but like, when you're here, don't let respect culture stop you from speaking up for yourself or speaking to people about things. Mm-hmm. Don't let the mentality that because this person is in a higher post than you, they know better than you, they really might not. So say what you're thinking. Always speak your mind. Don't think you can't approach the biggest person in a place to ask questions because you can. Don't think that you're going to struggle to... Don't think that the only way to get recruited is by applying for a job. No, you need to speak to the people in those companies as well. Like, just don't let who you've been and who Nigeria made you into hold you back from accessing all the opportunities that are in this place. Like, there are so many opportunities, and Nigeria really stifles us a lot. And it takes a while to come out of... or break free of that whole restraints that you've been put under from Nigeria. So don't let that hold you back. Like, I really can't say anything about that. Just don't let that hold you back.
Well, I really like all the advice you guys shared. Even me. Yeah. Yes. And I was, for me, one thing I would say to someone who's going to arrive soon or who just arrived in the US would be to explore your options. Like, for me, and I don't mean that sexually or like in a weird way. I just mean like explore who you can be. Because when I came here, I'm probably the most close-minded person you ever meet. But you know, coming here, I'm not more accepting. I won't say I've let go of my Nigerian self. I won't say I've let go of my Nigerian self per se. But yes, like what I want to say is like get ready to live a new life. That's it. Like just get ready. I just told myself I'm starting all over. Like I'm starting all over. And I find out that I'm even now more self-aware. I now know much more about myself. You know, I know the things I can't do, I can't take even as an adult. And then the second thing I should say, which I feel like should be the first, was maintain a superiority complex about being in Nigeria.
Yeah.
In a healthy way, of course, because I find out that just because I'm always proud to say, when they're like, oh, introduce yourself, I'm like, hi, I'm Tolu, I'm a Nigerian. You know, just by that, people already want to talk to me. And then I find out that because I'm so proud of being black, they see me as black, but I'm like, I'm just being Nigerian. You know, I find out that that's actually opened a lot more other doors for me. You know, people, I think there's just something about it, just carrying that energy of, this is where I'm from, this is where I'm so proud of it. Like, I'm not afraid to look ignorant, I'm not afraid to look like, oh, I just came here, I just moved here. And I see that has just really helped me as a person. So yeah, those are like, just no matter where you're coming from, I don't care like who your parents were, who they were not. Like, don't make anybody make you feel like a foolish person. Because at the end of it all, when you start getting into the classrooms, you find out that you're actually smarter than you think. You find out that, I mean, I didn't even come here with the goals to stay focused or all that, but like, I mean, you should stay focused, like Ladi said, but I find out that even as a Nigerian, just because they taught us first principle way, just because we know how to do things the hard, the narrow way, don't worry, you will find out when you start. You just find out that you're a much more richer individual. Like, you have a rich life. Don't let go of that. How do I explain? Because there's such a struggle life here. Like Ladi said, like, people are chasing money. And then even at home, with little, you could feel happy. So I've learned so that even if I don't have a lot, just because I convert my dollars to naira, if I have $20, that's like 10,000 naira. If I have 10,000 naira in Nigeria, I'm still a rich woman. You know, I'm still like, I still have money. So like, I just internalize in that. No matter what I have or where, yes, I'm still who I am and all that. And it just helps me live a richer life. So thank you to everyone who came here today. This is about 1 hour, 30 minutes. And if you have any more questions, please feel free to reach out to my guests personally. They will have much more advice for you. And also to me, you can always leave me a DM, send me an email at anonymousgaster@gmail.com. And yes, don't forget to listen to all my episodes, as many as you can and as many as interest you. So thank you guys for joining. Thank you, Pearl. Thank you, Ladi. Thank you, DI. Thank you so much for coming today. And thank you to all the people who keep it bubbling in the comment section. Thank you. Shout out to you guys. Thank you, Tomisin, Etinwa, Ovie. This is the shout out place. So, bye guys. Or should we play a little game? Oh no, it's really long. Let me see. 1 hour, 20 minutes. Okay, bye guys. Thank you. Bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye guys. Bye.